Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mishlei Perek Yud Zayin. That is the 17th chapter in the book of Mishlei. We are now over halfway through the Sefer, and the general topic of this Sefer is justice and bias. We're going to take a look at it in an overview perspective and then a few details. First of all, it is 28 psukim long, which is a little shorter than the prakim we've seen up till now, and can really be generally divided into two major sections. The first 15 psukim, Aleph to Tesvav, are ideas which surround the concept of justice, of mishpat. When you move to the second half, which is Tes Zayin to Chav Ches, 16 to 28, it really focuses around peace and harmony versus fighting. Some of the common themes that we'll notice in the words, in the themes in this perek, are the ideas of shoychad, which is bribery, bias, and mishpat, and true judgment. Another theme is children. Children appear in both the first and second section of this perek. In the first section, they're dealing with the idea of pride of parents and grandparents. In the second one, it talks about the embarrassment that they cause to parents and grandparents when they don't do the right thing. Another theme I noticed as well is the theme of humility versus arrogance. Of course, each pasuk stands in and of its own right. Each pasuk needs to be understood on its own right. But nonetheless, these are some of the general themes that can be found in this perek. Once again, each verse stands by itself, and there are a lot of contrasts. So each pasuk will oftentimes have a contrast between good and evil, wise and arrogant or lacking knowledge. We're going to focus on three psukim. We're taking a look at this, and again, these are introductions as to invitations to look at the rest of the psukim in a more sophisticated fashion. Pasuk Hey is our first pasuk, which is a very famous pasuk, and here is how it reads. Lo'eg la'rosh, a person who is mocks the poor, cheref oseu, affronts his maker. Someach la'ed, a person who rejoices over another's misfortune, lo'y yinokeh, will not go unpunished. That's the pasuk. What is the pshat of this pasuk? So fascinatingly enough, the Sefer HaChinuch, talking about the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis, of not destroying things wantonly in this world, says that this is a very basic psychological truth, and that is that a person, in general, who enjoys destruction, a person who takes pride or is apathetic to destruction around them, in the end of the day, here he says it is, Hema mashchisim es atzmam. They will ultimately destroy themselves. Why? Because b'midah she'odam moideid, to the degree a person will choose to measure the world around them, that is the measure they will be measured with when it comes to their final judgment. That means to say that in the end of the day, if you are going to be rejoicing over the downfall of others, you're not going to escape that misfortune yourself. Therefore, if you're going to live a destructive lifestyle, you are likely to meet a destructive end as well. And therefore, that's the outcome, that's the shorshei ha-mitzvah, the underpinnings of this mitzvah as well, which therefore relates to the first part of the pasuk, is lo'eg la'rosh cheref oseu, a person who dismisses, who embarrasses and mocks a poor person, a person who is impoverished, ultimately is cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there is a drash here, a very fascinating drash, which is actually halachically relevant. The Gemara in Brachos on Yud Ches Amud Aleph talks about the following situation. A person who walks in a cemetery should not walk in the cemetery wearing tefillin or having a sefer Torah or a sefer with them and read the Torah. A person is not allowed to learn a Torah in a cemetery. Why? The Gemara continues to say, because he transgresses this pasuk, lo'eg la'rosh, he is mocking the poor. What does he mean mocking the poor? What's this got to do with anything? The Mefarshim explain that the people in the cemetery, those who are buried there, are impoverished. They're impoverished because they no longer have access to bodies to be able to perform the mitzvahs around them. That being the case, you are mocking them by advertising and by flagrantly doing mitzvahs in the presence of those who cannot. So there is a limitation as to the types of mitzvahs one can do in the presence of the deceased. Which is why, a lot of times, it's worthwhile noting, when a person goes to the cemetery, when it's a man who's going to the cemetery, they should tuck their tzitzis in. A person should not wear their tzitzis out. A halacha learnt out of this pasuk. What is fascinating is that there is almost a parallel to this. The Gemara Menachos on Mem Aleph, Amen Aleph, tells us a fascinating halacha, which is halacha lamaisa, that the Gemara says that a person can be buried in their fringes, and in fact, for a man, if they have a talis that they would use, cannons should be buried in their talus, above the shrouds. The regular shrouds are put on and the talus is put on them. Why? Because otherwise it would be in violation of Loeg L'Rosh Cheref Oisehu. Meaning, if you put a four-cornered garment on the person without them, it's almost saying that they cannot perform the mitzvahs. So on the one hand, you don't perform mitzvahs in their presence, but you also will not take away the opportunity of what would have been a mitzvah were they to be living. So there's this balance of the respect to those. What this also shows is the incredible zechus we have while being alive to do mitzvahs, and how something so simple can be such a zechus, which perhaps we take for granted. One fascinating halacha learnt out of this pasuk. Let's move to pasuk Zavov, the next pasuk. Ateris zakenim b'nei vanim, that the crown of a person, of the elders, are their grandchildren. The tiferes banim avosam, the glory of the children are their parents. What does this mean? The Ralbag points out that you'll notice that it is not a pasuk which shares parity. Which means to say, the beginning of the pasuk tells us that grandparents are incredibly proud of their grandchildren, they are their crown, but children look to their parents as their glory, which means a grandparent loves their grandchildren more than a grandchild loves their grandparent, because they don't look to their grandparents in the same way. And part of this is psychological. As Rodesla explains, love is a function of hav, ahava is a function of giving. And that means to say, the more one gives into a relationship, the more one has love there. A grandparent invested in the children and now invests in the grandchildren. And as a relationship, the grandchildren have very little investment. They do very little for their grandparents naturally. And therefore, there's less of a relationship there, which might be reflected in this reality in the Pasuk. And that is what the Ralbag is suggesting over here. There is a more Kabbalistic interpretation of this, in that the Kedusha Slevi, Rav Yalevi Yitzchak of Berditchov, says in Bereshis and Parshas Chayesara, talking about Avraham, V'Avraham Zokein Bob Bayomim, he talks about the idea that somehow Klal Yisrael is able to attach themselves to a greater Shefa, to a greater source of energy than the nations of the world. And that means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an infinite energy in this world if we are only willing to be the clay kibble, to be the receptacles of that shefa, of that divine energy which is flowing into this world. And he says that the words Av and Ben, father and son, are actually metaphors for that idea. That means to say you can have a zakein, a zakein means the source of energy, and the b'nei bonim are the receptacles of that energy. Almost as if, the example he gives is that imagine that you had a blueprint in your mind of making something, and then you actually make it. So the idea is the zakein, that's the energy, the pure energy itself, and the b'nei bonim, or the bonim, are where you're actually able to tangibly create that idea in a physical state. It limits it, but at the same time it expresses it. So when a person is able to converge and align themselves with the Ratzon HaBorei, with the Ratzon of Hashem, the Ratzon of Hashem is considered the Zakein, and ultimately we are considered the ones who wear it and express it, we're the B'nai Bonim. If we so attach our lives, if we decide to dedicate our energies to aligning ourselves and converging with the divine will. Which means that what this pasuk is really saying over here is, as the Kedusha Slavi explains, V'ateris zakenim b'nei bonim. What is the greatest crown of glory for zakenim, for the Ratzon of Hashem as it expresses in this world, is b'nei bonim. When there are those who are willing to express it. The Hashem gave us a number of mitzvahs, and we decided to take our energy and our life and use it for that and not for other things. That's the greatest expression of it. And ultimately, v'tiferes bonim, Avoy Sam. And then what's the glory of the children? What's the glory of those who decided to become the vehicles of Hashem? Is Avoy Sam, the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which made them immortal through that action. Very beautiful and Kabbalistic way of looking at this. Finally, last pasuk we're going to focus on today, and that is the pasuk Yud Dalad. Fascinating pasuk. It reads as follows: Poiter Mayim Reishis Modoin, to start a quarrel is to open up a sluice gate. V'lifnei Hiskala Hariv Natosh. And before the dispute flares up, drop it. Before Hiskala Hariv Natosh, just drop it, leave it alone. The Ralbag says a very basic truth. It's like the dam which is about to burst. When it starts, it's a little bit of a flow, but all you need is a little bit of a hole, and boom, the whole thing falls apart in a few hours. Gone. Don't let it start. Don't start the quarrel. Don't get involved. Don't swing at that ball. It's not worth it, says the Ralbag. However, there's another interpretation to this as well, which is actually quoted in Halacha, and that is that maybe the word Madon doesn't mean a quarrel, but rather din. It means judgment. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin, what Aleph tells us, that when a person gets to Shemayim, the first question they're going to ask us is, did you learn Torah? Poiter Mayim, Reishis Madon. The first judgment is going to be about Mayim, and Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The water is metaphoric of Torah, which means, not that we're not going to be judged on the actions and our characteristics and how the life we led and the relationships we made, or didn't make, we're going to be asked, do we have Torah? Why? Because if we don't have the map, then we're certainly going to get lost on the streets. If we don't start the day, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, quoting an Aruch HaChaim Kufnun Hei, we need to leave davening in the morning, and the first thing we need to do is learn. Set the wheels straight. Align the wheels before we start driving. It'll make it a better drive. If we don't have the Torah straight, it's very unlikely we'll be able to get the rest of it straight. Which is why, perhaps the positive reading of this is, Poiter Mayim, Reishis Madon. You want to get everything right? Get the water right at the beginning of the judgment. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.